Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, we've got another week, another crazy week, another bad week. In fact, I want to tell you something. I am really incensed tonight. I think this has been one of the worst weeks we've experienced in a long time. Things are going wrong in this, our country. We are abandoning normalcy. We are doing crazy things. We are going downhill. We are going down through the tubes. It seems that nothing American is happening. Everything that's happening is taken away from what I believe America should be, and I think most of you believe America should be. Remember that if you wish to call in and discuss any points I'm going to raise with me, I am happy to hear from you. The number is on the screen in front of you, 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. I want to start this evening with those 52,000 or 57,000 children that have come up from Ecuador, El Salvador, and whatever, the other, Nicaragua, I think it is, whatever the third, Honduras. And they've come up here, they've walked, they've bused, most of them are alone, a few have parents. They're kids. They're running from anywhere under a year old up through 17 years old. They walk, they bus ride. They walk through the desert. They swim the Rio Grande, or they're in rubber boats, and they come in from Mexico into Texas. We have a problem. We've never had a problem like this before. It's the problem that's happened in Africa, in Europe, and in the Middle East, where people come across the borders and by the thousands. And we say, oh, these people must be helped, and we send money over, and we send food over, and we send water over, and we chastise those countries that don't take care of these humanitarian immigrants in these other countries, not in our country, when we feel they're not being well taken care of. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. It is happening to us for the first time. Let me tell you why I have bad feelings about how we are handling this. Number one, the president asked about 10 days ago for $3.7 billion to deal with the problem. I'm going to tell you now, and you know it, I don't have to tell you, he's not going to get $3.7 billion. He's not going to get anywhere near it. He's not going to get any of the other things he requires. The Republicans are going to screw this up big time already. I haven't heard a Republican say we've got to do the right thing yet. They're all saying, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. They've got every goddamn excuse in the world except it's something we got to do. This is a different situation. This is a humanitarian crisis, okay? As far as the Republicans are concerned, put them all on airplanes and send them back right away to wherever they came from. Thank you, United States of America, land of the free, home of the brave, the Statue of Liberty. Send me your masses, teeming, looking for freedom. Okay? We don't do that anymore. Something's happened to our country. Let me tell you how these children are living. And I base what I'm going to tell you on an ABC News report I saw a couple of nights ago with pictures. Children are living in very crowded conditions. They sleep next to each other on the floor, in some instances on top of each other on the floor, covered either with blankets or in many instances with aluminum foil. It's been discovered that aluminum foil makes for a good blanket. The heat is retained. Body heat is retained. Isn't that wonderful? They are sleeping on cold concrete floors. So during the day, what do we do with them? They're left standing during the day in holding rooms, standing like sardines in holding rooms. Wherever they are fenced in by chain link fence and barbed wire. This sounds like Sing Sing. They are only allowed 30 minutes a day outside to play. As ABC said and ABC showed, some of these children appear dehydrated and hungry. Others are sick because they cannot eat. They are not accustomed to our food. These are children. How can we treat children like this? The whole world is watching us. This is the United States of America. You know, we do everything right. We're the guiding light for the rest of the world. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work here this time. I think we're on our way to another Katrina. another Katrina. I think if the Republicans in the House of Representatives don't do what they should do, then the president should issue an executive order immediately and do what has to be done. Then add this to Boehner's lawsuit against the president that's coming, and let's worry about it in court. The issue will be decided in court after Obama's out of office. Okay? Let's do it. Let the House sue him. He's got to do these things. He must be pushed to do these things. I don't see this problem with the children as a Democrat or Republican thing. It shouldn't be. It's a matter of conscience. That's all. Not politics. Conscience. We must do the right thing and help the children. Now, let me tell you about a couple of episodes that you're aware of and I'm aware of, and it burns my butt. I'm talking about what happened in Murrieta last week and what is happening in what happened in Arizona today. It's a shame. People, citizens of the United States, people like you and me, are protesting. Three busloads of children were going to Murrieta to be taken care of there in the facility, and the people of Murrieta stopped the buses and would not let the children leave, and they had to leave. And there were also people who were against this. We're going to end up with fights in the street. We're going to end up with demonstrations. We're going to end up with violence. This is going to be like Cairo. This is going to be like other places in the world where peaceful demonstrations get inflamed and then somebody hits somebody. Then the police are called in the military, and we got big-time problems. And today it happened in Arizona, but nobody ever came. Somehow the people thought in some city in Arizona the busloads were going to come of children. I understand they never came, but they were out there again with signs and everything say, stay away, we don't want you. These are children. What happened today that really galls my butt is this. We flew 40 women and children back to Honduras today, and the president has assured us that more and more will be almost immediately flown back to wherever they came from. We got over 50,000 children here. They left because they might get killed there. Their parents gave them $5,000 or $7,000 to pay a coyote to get them started. That's a year's wages to the parents down there. This is serious business. They want to get their kids out of these countries because they're going to get killed. 80% of them won't reach 21 years of age. If they're sent back, they're back to life, my friends. Now, I think it's a shame. I think it's a shame that President Obama, I don't agree with him on this, is sending these people back, and he's going to do it immediately. Obama's very proud that he has deported more people in his time in office than any previous president. I don't think that's something to be proud of. The reason he does this is because he keeps sucking up to the Republicans. He always wants to make a deal, and that's negotiating, but he always gives them something, assuming they're going to give him something back and they'll have a new law or a new bill or a deal, but the Republicans never perform. He gives and generally gets nothing in return. He hasn't learned you cannot do business with people who have said no to you for 5.5 years. They're going to continue to say no to you until you are out of office. So I don't think he's doing it right. He's wrong. He's wrong, and he should be ashamed in this instance. I think our country should be ashamed. Again, these are children, and we're dumping them back where they came from. To me, you know how I view this? Though maybe not as bad, but it's the same thing. Jews who escaped Nazi Germany in the 1930s and then were sent back to Germany because no country wanted them. And you know what happened to them. Now we're sending these kids back, and I'm telling you, 80% of them will not reach 21. Let's move on now. When I was in college, I was taking some political science courses, and one of them we spent a lot of time on an essay by Walter Lippmann. He used to write columns. He used to write books. He wrote everything. He was a political scientist. And in 1939, he wrote an essay, The Indispensable Opposition, The Indispensable Opposition. And basically what he said, and I quote, it's essential for a government to have a vocal minority which is opposed to the ruling majority. Well, we got that in this country. We got the Republicans. They're a majority in the House. The Democrats are a majority in Congress. And nobody listens to each other, though. And each side should, because in each house there's a minority of the, in each house there's a minority from the other side. If people don't listen to each other, we can't get anywhere. The problem in this country today, is that our legislators, primarily Republicans, I'm laying the blame tonight where I see it, primarily Republicans, don't negotiate. It's their way or the highway. Their way or the highway, and you can't get business done that way. Now I'm going to jump over to Colorado and Washington and a little marijuana. Maybe our guys in Congress should smoke pot. They might get along better. Anyhow, we now have recreational marijuana, which is legal in Colorado and Washington. Colorado opened the doors for it, I think, 3 weeks ago. It's been a tremendous success so far. Colorado organized it well. The stores aren't chain stores or anything. They're basic mom-and-pop grocery stores of yesterday. You got families running these businesses, and they sell marijuana legally, and you got people growing marijuana legally, and it's working out good. Washington started last week with under their new law they could have recreational marijuana, and it's been a disaster, only because Washington did not organize it. They did not have enough. They ran out of pot the first day. It's all screwed up. Okay, now, here's the problem as I see it. I see two problems. I had the good fortune last week of meeting someone here in Key West, a husband and wife from Boulder, Colorado. They were here on vacation with their 13-year-old daughter. And, of course, I talked with the parents because I'm always interested in what's happening where, and I got into the marijuana situation in Colorado, assuming this couple was going to be happy and proud of what was going on with regard to marijuana. I would say that the couple was 35 to 40 years old. Very unhappy, very disturbed. I was shocked with the response I got. The concern was this. They didn't mind the cigarettes. The problem is there are cakes and breads and candy bars that are being produced containing marijuana, and it's permissible to sell and buy them. Now, adults are buying the candy bars. The instruction on the candy bar is only eat one little piece at a time. Well, the adults aren't, and they're getting sick and ending up in hospitals because they eat the whole candy bar and they're really blown out. The problem is children, teenagers. His daughter's 13 years old. I could see where it was coming from. Not that his daughter was involved, but he was afraid his daughter would be involved. The kids are getting the candy bars, and they're not paying any attention to the warning, only eat one piece. They're eating the whole candy bar, and they're ending up in the hospital, too. So they've got a problem there that they've got to work out, and I'm sure they will. But it was interesting. This is, you know, a business couple opposed to it. I could understand why. Which brings me to another issue regarding Colorado and the legalization of marijuana. It involves the banks, and I'm going to talk about hypocrisy and the banks. Now, these people are doing a great business. They are. Some stores are grossing $100,000 a day. That's a lot of money selling marijuana. Generally, most of them are doing $250,000 a week. Still a lot of money. We're talking about little stores all over the place. The problem is the banks in Colorado will not permit a marijuana business to open a bank account. No checking account, no savings account, no bank services. They say for two reasons. One, because under the federal law, marijuana is still considered a drug. No, it's a crime to deal with it. And they feel they would be violating the federal law, even though the state law now says it's okay. We all know this federal law is there. Obama's administration has been reluctant to enforce it, and eventually it will be gone. But it's there. On the other hand, so these people got this money. Stay with me. They got this money. The banks say, Also, we can't physically handle the money they've got. Do you know, for us to process $100,000 or $250,000 could take 1 to 2 hours? You know, they got to put the bills through the machines to get them counted. My God, it takes too long. We lose money processing those dollar bills. That's excuse number two. So these people, what are they doing? They're buying old-time safes, big metal safes, and putting them in their stores. They're hiding their loot in farmhouses and everything else. It's going to be stolen eventually. New security businesses have started up to accommodate a need here. What do I do with all this money? And they come and they take it. I mean, these are those big Brink-type trucks. And interestingly, a lot of the people working, the security people, are former military people. They know how to handle a gun, and they go and they get the bags of money and they put them in the truck. Nobody knows yet where they take the money to process it. But it's a screwed-up mess, and why is this hypocrisy on the part of the bank? About 3 months ago, I spelled out a situation where I thought almost similar was hypocritical by and on the part of banks. And what I was referring to is the drug cartels, the drug lords in Mexico, are making millions and billions of dollars every year. They've got to clean this money. It's dirty. They've got to get it in the economy so they can spend it. The money does them no good. Well, there are American banks and European banks that have offices, branch offices in Mexico. The drug lords go and deposit their money in the branch bank of the American bank, for example, in Mexico. And then someone in the United States goes to that same bank in, say, Des Moines, Iowa or something, in another city, and can withdraw the funds. And this cleans the money. Now the money's in circulation. Now, the banks are getting paid for doing this, that for handling these millions and billions of dollars. They're making billions of dollars, it's been established. The banks are. And they say, they've been asked, aren't you complicit? Aren't you involved in this? You know this is drug money, and you're helping them to use it, get rid of it, dispose of it. And the banks say, look, we have nothing to do with anything. People bring us their money. We take care of it. We don't pay attention to anything else. Well, if that's the case, why the hell are they paying attention in Colorado and refusing to open bank accounts? It doesn't make sense to me. Something's wrong here. Moving on. Ho, ho, ho. This is a great one. Remember Citizens United 2 years ago, the United States Supreme Court? Corporations are people. And because they are people, they can make political contributions in any amount to candidates. Well, this sort of screws things up because you and me can't give $100,000 or $1 million or several million dollars to any candidate. We don't have it. But big corporations, American corporations, have this kind of money. And you can see what they've been throwing into the elections the last couple of years. What's happening now is this. Many United States companies, big companies, are saying, who are incorporated in the United States, in Delaware, Michigan, wherever, are saying, you know, we got to pay taxes if we're a United States citizen. If we're incorporated in a state, in this union, we must pay taxes, federal and state. Why should we do that? All we have to do is go to some foreign country where they don't have any taxes or they have limited taxes and reincorporate in that country or in that island, the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, Budapest, wherever you are, and then we don't have to pay American taxes. Well, here's what I got to say, and nobody said this yet, but I want to make it clear. Because this is already happening. None of these companies who leave us here, they're still keeping their companies here. They still got their workers here. But if they're not going to be United States citizens via proper incorporation in the United States, they've decided to leave so they don't have to pay taxes, then they should not have the right to make political contributions for Citizen United to any political candidates. Makes sense, doesn't it? They're not contributing to the welfare of our country. They're not contributing to our American system. Screw them. You got to make people pay. Okay. Now, this is the worst thing I'm going to talk about tonight. this bothers me no end, and it should bother you. And I don't know why the media is not dwelling on this more. They have reported it this past week, and it's only in the last couple of days this has come out. But nobody's made a big deal out of it yet, and to me it's a big deal. I hope I'm wrong. China. It had to happen. I mean, we've been sucking off China's breast for a lot of years. Every time we need money, we go borrow money from China. They're happy to give it to us. It's easy for them. It's not that they have a lot of money. Whenever they need money, they print it. They don't care. They're a dictatorship. They can do whatever they want. They don't follow any rules. You want a loan? You want a $10 billion loan? We'll print $10 billion more of money for you. That's how it's done in China. Well, we got problems, because here's what's happening. China last week, said that they were making offers at that time to America's Fortune 500 companies. Understand that America's Fortune 500 companies are our biggest companies. And China was saying to each of them, they've already put the offers out, we want to buy you, each and every one of you, except for they don't want the defense companies and they don't want the information technology companies. All other companies we want to buy, and we will pay you, each company, the highest dollar value of your stock in the last 14 days. That's a good deal. It's a terrific deal. And it's assumed some American companies are going to go for this. Maybe a lot of them are going to go for this. If you're a shareholder and you hear you can make a big buck right away, you're going to go for it. You're going to vote for this. China wants to take over these companies. Not only do they want to take them over, they're going to leave them here. They're going to leave the workers here. They're going to leave the management here. But they're going to move the place of business, the incorporation place, to Canada. All these companies will not be residents or citizens of Canada, incorporated in Canada. Why, I'm not sure, but there must be some deal there. Maybe they don't have to pay taxes. But they're going to buy all these companies. This is a $14 trillion deal. That's a hell of a lot of money. Think about it, because our national debt's not even close to that. $14 trillion, and the Chinese people say, the money people in China, that they expect to get their money back plus another $14 trillion in 1 year because of this. I don't know. This is now beyond me. Now, why is this all happening? In my opinion, it's happening because we haven't acted properly in the last few years. We're no longer the big giant on the international scene. We have faltered. We have not done things when we should have. I blame Obama for this also. His hands are tied. The Chinese and the rest of the world see that we have a dysfunctional government. The Republicans say no. Obama tries to do something, he can't. And then when he should, he didn't. I'm talking about Syria. He said the red line has been drawn, and they've crossed it. And then he did nothing. We look like shit, let me tell you, when we did nothing. And then the Ukraine, we really did nothing. And they're saying, hey, this country is not as strong as we thought. Now comes Russia, who's mad at us because Russia went into the Ukraine. They got other ideas too, and Putin's very unhappy because we screwed up their money in this country. And Russia and China are in bed together, and they're saying, now we can get the United States. This isn't a battle with bullets, my friends. This is an economic war. It's being waged with dollars. I've said this before. And what do you think China said this past week when they announced, that we're going to do something here? We're going to make an offer to all these companies. They said, and I quote, the Chinese government has no intention whatsoever on enriching gamblers after tolerating the United States behavior with its currency over the last 20 years. What they're saying, in fact, you guys have been screwing around with your money for 20 years. We've let it go on. We've tolerated you. And look, well, you know, they loaned us $1.7 trillion during that time. And why'd they loan us the money if we were a bad risk? They're going to squeeze us now. They're going to squeeze us, okay? They are going to squeeze us. And they're going to squeeze us and squeeze us, because they see that we are in a moment of weakness. And quite frankly, we are. You can't say it any other way. So now we got another problem on the table. I blame the Republicans for this. I blame the Democrats also, and I blame Obama. But I blame the Republicans more because they placed us in a position where we really cannot run our business effectively nationally or internationally. This is something to worry about, what I have just told you. Let's talk about milk. Milk. We are already experiencing a shortage of milk. It's going to get worse. The reason's very simple. Global warming comes into this, everything. Because of the droughts, there is not enough grass growing. Cows eat grass, and they get big and fat and produce a lot of milk. They are not getting enough milk. That's the same reason we don't have enough beef anymore. Now, the big companies with the GMOs like Monsanto and the rest, they're producing milk with GMOs. Who wants it? You know, who wants milk with genetically modified organisms in it? Well, three scientists, very simply, have made man-made artificial milk, as they call it. They believe it's going to put the dairies out of business, and they won't know till next year for sure. The company's called Murfri, M-U-U-F-R-I. I think the gentlemen involved are from India. They expect to have the first batch available for testing, et cetera, next year. They claim it will be more healthy than regular milk. Cholesterol and lactose will not be problems. Understand, the FDA, no one's looked at this yet because they don't have the final product. But if they turn this out, it's going to be interesting because we are reaching a point, probably in a couple of years, where milk is going to be scarce. Let's talk about water for a minute. This is terrible, what I'm going to tell you. You know what's going on in Detroit. The people in Detroit, half the people in Detroit do not have water because the water company turned off the water because they didn't pay their bill. We're talking about a $100 bill, a $200 bill, a $300 bill, a $35 bill. They announced this last week, okay? The United Nations got involved and said, this is terrible, you can't do this. Everyone has a human right to water. You need it for life. It's like breathing air. And now the United Nations makes us look bad, just like China's going to make us look bad. We look bad everywhere lately. And you've got the United Nations overlooking us, and they also said they don't like the way the blacks are being treated in Detroit. Now, put all that aside. It's announced a couple of days ago by Nestle's. You know, Nestle's, a lot of that water you buy in the supermarket in bottles comes from Nestle's. Nestle's the biggest producer of water in the world. And their CEO said, look, this is stupid, he says. Number one, he does not believe that water is a human right. It's another commodity to be sold. He believes that the water in this whole world, especially in Detroit and in the United States, should be privatized. Private companies like his should own it. They could better control the water supply. And they, from my perspective, can better screw us because they're going to have a monopoly and they won't care. But he says it's not a fundamental human right. Now, today's news comes out that there is a lot of money owed to Detroit, who's in bankruptcy, for water. But it isn't the little people who owe all this money. There are corporations in Detroit who have not paid their water bill, who are still in business, and owe upwards of $1 million or $2 million. The city of Detroit itself hasn't paid its water bill in 4 years. So I don't understand. Why not chase the companies that are in business who owe big dollars? Why are you turning off the water on the little guys? You're not turning it off on the big guys. They're trying to make deals with the big guys, obviously. But it isn't right. The whole thing isn't right. That's the story. That's my story, my complaints. I got a lot of bitches this week. I apologize if I offended you. But I really feel strongly about these things. I thank you for joining me. Please come back next week and listen again. I hope you enjoy the show. I hope it sparks something inside you. I'm sure it does, or you would not be listening. I'm glad I was with you again this week. I look forward to being with you next week. In the meantime, remember, I've got a book out there, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, you'll like my book. If you don't like the show, you'll hate my book. But if you like the book, if you like what I say, the book's available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, The World Upside Down. Thank you for joining me. I look forward to being with you again next week.